The Europeans were talking about using the NATO air defense system in Poland and Romania and shooting anything coming to the western part of Ukraine. And recently, a member of Bundestag was talking about this.
Yeah, well, it's just it's more ignorance. Number one, Russia's not flying any aircraft as far as fixed wing piloted aircraft in there or rotary wing. They're staying well to the east of the Dnieper River. If they're talking about trying to use their air defense systems to bring down hypersonic missiles, well, good luck with that. Fire away, guys. They haven't been successful shooting them down in Russia in Ukraine. So just because they're in Poland doesn't mean it's going to be any better. And, you know, I think Russia's content to let the Poles fire off all these missiles because they fire them off. There's no more coming. Go ahead, guys, use them up. You know, it's like if anybody's ever fired a semi-automatic pistol, you know, with a, let's say, a 10-round magazine, unless you got a big box of cartridges there ready where you can, you know, empty one and then refill it. Once you run out, you run out. And that's where NATO's headed with all of this, including, you know, just because it's a Patriot system doesn't mean they got a guarantee they can find any more missiles to shoot from it.
It seems that Sweden is talking about deploying American nuclear weapons on its territory.
Yeah.
And Newsweek, there was an article in Newsweek talking about this. Why Sweden is deciding to put American nuclear weapons on its territory and how that would benefit Sweden?
Yeah, I don't see how it benefits Sweden at all, except making it a target. I don't see it. Russia's not going to allow that. No more than the United States would allow Cuba to put Russian nuclear weapons in Cuba. I mean, what the hell are they thinking? What the hell is the United States thinking? We deliberately want to provoke Russia? All right. Putin's made it very clear. Those nukes will go to Sweden. He hasn't said this specifically about Sweden, but with respect to if Russia's threatened, they will use tactical nukes if necessary. I think putting nukes in Sweden would be one of those red lines that Russia will respond to, and they'll take them out, and they'll use tactical nukes to take them out because they're not going to have nuclear weapons on their border. Not going to allow it. No, more, neither would we. So it's just, you know. People to contemplating that as a wise move need to, you know, wake up.
Yeah, we know a German company, Rheinmetall, and I'm something like this. It's producing weapons. They're talking about producing weapons in Ukraine. If they put any sort of plant, any sort of factory in Ukraine, do you think Russia would let them to produce weapons in Ukraine, or are they gonna hit it?
Number one, they'll hit it. I'm not even sure it could be built. Russia would destroy it while it's being built. But where's the power going to come from? They're already rationing power throughout Ukraine. You know, I think in Lviv and Kiev, or Kyiv, as the Russians call it, they're already down to you know, about a 4 to 5 hour ban a night on electricity. So, you know, Rheinmetall can have all the, you know, fantasy plans at once. Oh yeah, we're going to build a great factory. The Russians are going to, you know, what are you going to run it on? You have a bunch of mice inside cages spinning around running, you know, because the thermal power plants are being destroyed, hydroelectric power plants are being destroyed. The only thing really still on are some of the nuclear power plants.
When I look at the behavior of the German government, so it's unbelievably and outrageously illogical. You look at their behavior right now. If I were in the government in Germany, I would say, man, we did everything to Ukraine. We helped them, but they're losing right now. Let's go the other way. Let's find some sort of solution in for the aftermath of this conflict. But it seems that they're doubling down.
Hey, it's a German thing. Remember Hitler in the bunker? Boy, he wasn't going to give up either. Put a bullet in his head. You know, crunched some cyanide and ate a bullet. Apparently, it's a genetic thing in Germany. That's all I can conclude. At least those who get into positions of political leadership lose all rational thinking capabilities and begin to embrace, you know, literally fantasies that are deadly, that are going to end up destroying Germany. I know already are, frankly. You know, Germany stood by while the United States openly talked about destroying Nord Stream. And then the United States destroyed Nord Stream. And Olaf Scholz is going, good God. I mean, you know, frankly, he's like the guy that gets sent to prison and all of a sudden he's the victim of, he's getting raped every day because he's just so soft and spineless. That's what they are.
Yeah. We know that in Switzerland, they're going to talk about Ukraine, and they invited Brazil, China, South Africa. We've learned so far that Brazil and South Africa, they're not going to participate in this summit in Switzerland. I feel that she is not going to send anybody to this summit.
I don't know. He might, but for the simple purpose of going in there and saying, what the hell's the matter with all of you? I mean, he'll do it in Chinese and do it low key, and you know they won't curse. But you know, basically say to the other people, have you lost your minds? How can you have peace talks here without having the Russians here? So we're here on behalf of Russia to tell you that Russia's got to have a seat at the table and has to be treated with respect. And if you're not willing to do that, there's not going to be any peace, because that's the only way we'll get involved. You know, he'll send that, they can deliver that kind of message. But, you know, smile while they're doing it, and, you know, pure polite. But, you know, they'd still be saying, are you friggin' nuts? You know, it's crazy.
We know that Antony Blinken was in Kiev playing guitar at a bar and...
yeah, channeling his inner Eric Clapton, okay?
Why he's doing this, in your opinion, in the middle of all this mess in Ukraine, why he's doing this?
Well, no, not only that, his song choice, the song by Neil Young, was an anti-war sort of anthem. It shows just a complete lack of judgment. And this was not accidental. This was planned. Notice, because the guitar is a left-handed guitar. There are not a lot of left-handed guitars laying around. And, you know, so either someone on his staff had called ahead to say, hey, got any lefties, you know, for our Secretary of State? Or he brought his own from the United States. Going full, okay, Mr. Secretary, here's our plan. On Thursday, we're going to go to, the bar where pigs puke. And while we're there, you're going to get up on stage, you know, you'll have a beer, and then you're going to get up on stage and play, you know, keep on rocking in the real world with, we're not sure who else is playing, okay? And he can't sing worth a damn either, you know, but, and so it was planned. For what purpose? To show the rest of Ukrainians that he's an untalented guitar player and a lousy singer? You know, I certainly wouldn't want to advertise that about myself. You know, it'd be one thing if he could play the guitar like Jimmy Page, you know, of Led Zeppelin. But he can't, and he's not, you know. But if you had that kind of talent, yeah, that might impress people and say, yeah, you see how I'm playing this guitar? Well, that's the same way, man. We're going to play Russia. We're going to beat them. We're going to tear them up. Oh, okay. But, you know, that, you know, that's like watching your untalented kid do a recital. You're just like, oh, please, God, get this over with quick.
Yeah. Larry, it seems that in Georgia, the situation is getting more serious, and the Georgian parliament has passed the law on foreign agents, and which was vetoed by the president later. And
yeah. Well, hell, the president's a foreign agent. I mean, she's French. She's not born in Georgia. She's French. Parlez-vous français? Okay, yeah, but what does that have to do with Georgia? So she's a foreign agent. She's going to veto the law, and the Congress is going to overturn the veto. I mean, she's part of the problem. I can't believe the media, particularly in the West, keeps reporting, oh, this is a Russian law. This is just Russia trying to clamp down on people's freedoms. No, it's not. It's the Georgian people trying to keep the CIA and MI6 the hell out of their private affairs. Get out. The United States for the last 75 years has been on a regime change binge. And it's got to stop. I'm disgusted by it as an American. Got to stop. We've got to stop telling other countries how to live their lives. Let's live our own lives first. Let's get our own act together. Let's clean up our streets. Let's get the drug addicts some treatment. Let's get the homeless some houses. Let's get the crime violence down. No, instead, all those are getting worse every year, and we're out busy trying to tell the people of Georgia, you know, the country, not the state, how to live and what to do. And the Chinese, and the Indians, and the Iranians, and the Russians, everybody. Because we know better, please.
In this protest against this law in Georgia, we had foreign ministers of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. It's so amazing how a foreign country can send its ministry, foreign minister, to Georgia protesting the law that is going on right now. They're discussing in Georgia. If something like this happens in the United States, what would be the reaction on the part of these Republican and Democratic Party?
Well, the United States already has a Foreign Agents Registration Act law. But let's just assume that now, because of the events in Ukraine, the United States is going to pass a law that is going to require any group that gets 20%, at least 20% of its funds from Russia has to report that money. Well, then all of a sudden you got people in the street protesting here, being led by not just the Russians, but countries friendly to Russia who are in our streets, attacking the government, trying to pass this law. We'd call that outside interference. These crazy politicians, they just made the argument for the Georgian legislature. We're trying to stop outside influence, and there they are. They are marching in the street alongside, and I'm sure many of those people that were out there, they're paid protesters. They're getting compensated. This was organized. This was not a genuine, oh my God, we think it's such a burden to place on the people of Georgia to have to report that they're getting 20% of their money or more from a foreign source. You know, it's a no-brainer. And the U.S. is trying to do in Georgia what it did in Ukraine with the Maidan. Did it successfully in 2014. What they tried to do in Kazakhstan. The Russians set it in Spetsnaz and helped put a stop to that. But the United States keeps trying and keeps, you know, they tried to do it in Venezuela. You know, we're incessant meddlers. Can't help ourselves. Stick on our nose everywhere.
It seems that the United States is going to impose sanctions on Georgian authorities if democracy is undermined. They're talking about this. It's so amazing how they're sanctioning everybody, Russia, China, Georgians, Middle East. Yeah. It seems that
they're like an evil Oprah Winfrey. You know, remember Oprah Winfrey? I've got a car for you. I've got a car for you. Now this is the evil Oprah. I'm going to sanction you. I'm going to sanction you. I'm going to sanction you. Who wants to be around somebody like that? I don't. And what will happen? The Georgians will go, okay, God, we can't have any more McDonald's, which is going to make all of our women fat and ugly. Okay, let's go deal with the Russians. And they'll find that Russia's, you know, a lot less meddlesome, you know, and they'll find that they've got a commonality, at least with the Orthodox Church in some sectors. The United States, as I said, this crew running the Biden foreign policy, they know nothing of diplomacy, nothing of, you know, I call it romance. You know, you got to woo and to recruit other countries to come over and be your friend. Our friends are, you know, Nauru, Vanuatu. I mean, specks of dust in the middle of the Pacific that mean absolutely nothing to the world other than being tax havens for money launderers and criminal organizations. That's who's back in the United States with a lot of these votes. And, oh, yeah, Israel. Now, there's an upstanding group of far-reaching moralists. So it's just, you know, and then Argentina's joined the crowd. Pathetic. But it's a shrinking crowd. Most of the rest of the world says, we don't want to be part of that party anymore. We're going to stay away.
Did you hear that Lindsey Graham on NBC was suggesting to drop nuclear bombs in the Middle East? What the hell is talking about? They do that, what would be the reaction from those countries?
Yeah, again, it just shows his level of stupidity. That U.S. dropped nuclear bombs on Japan. No, we didn't. They were atomic bombs. Big difference. There's a different kind of process underway in those bombs. But, you know, when he said that, it got me to start thinking back. And Stalin had made the promise to the Western allies that once Germany was defeated, then the Soviets would turn and fight the Japanese. But Stalin had told them at the outset of the war, we're not going to fight a two-front war. Russia, we got to defeat the Nazis. Then we'll worry about the Japanese. Well, I would argue that the United States and Great Britain, say, you know, so Stalin was being thwarted by Churchill and Roosevelt, and then by Truman, deliberately to keep the Russians out, Soviets out, as far as possible. Soviets, they finally joined, and they didn't start attacking until right after the first bomb was dropped on Hiroshima on August 6th. I would love to get into the historical records of Harry Truman and the historical records of Joseph Stalin, to see exactly what happened in that time frame, because I think we've got another potential hypothesis or theory about what happened. That the reason the United States dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki was as a warning to Russia, then Soviet Union. Even though the Soviets had been our allies, ostensible allies, for the previous 4 years, there was no move or request by the West to accelerate at all Russia's entry to the war. And I think Russia's entry into the war helped terminate the war more quickly, because they went through the Japanese troops that were in Manchuria and China like a hot knife through butter, just cut through them. So just think what an alternative it would have been if Truman, then in power, sat down with Stalin and said, look, let's collaborate, let's coordinate, we got to the defeat of Japan. Reason was the United States didn't want to risk any kind of power sharing with the Soviets, didn't want to be obligated to the Soviets in any way, and really wanted to take all the credit and thought we could do so by delivering that bomb. So, I mean, that's a little off course from what your question was about Lindsey Graham, but it just, again, goes to show the ignorance of this man to you know, put it in such terms that our only choice was to drop the bomb. No, we had lots of other choices. And so here's Graham justifying the murder of civilians. You know, he said, well, we bombed Germany. Yeah, we did. And I wouldn't be too damn proud of that either. What the British and American air forces did in Europe, particularly to civilians with their air forces, were war crimes. And, you know, most of the men who served, I'd say 99% of the men who served in those units are dead now. but they were criminals. They were killing civilians, but they were following orders. So it's the ones who gave the orders, really, that were the criminals. The Hap Arnolds, the Curtis LeMays. And because you didn't see the Soviets launching massive bombing raids on German cities to kill civilians. That was not their thing. They were too busy killing German soldiers and destroying the German war machine. And, you know, here's Lindsey Graham advocating a policy of inhumanity and encouraging Israel to do the same. And, you know, the Israeli Zionists are monsters. They're bona fide monsters. And frankly, they need to be stopped. And I think that ultimately they will be, and it'll mean their destruction.
But when he's talking about dropping nuclear bombs in the Middle East, do you think how would that benefit the future of Israel? Or
yeah, it's not the areas for is if Israel uses nukes, it's going to contaminate itself. Or if it tries to use its nuclear weapons on some other country, like say Iran, other countries are going to retaliate. Turkey, Pakistan, potentially Russia. So no, that's a road that even the crazies in Israel don't want to go down. It's fraught with too many perils. And plus, if you start unleashing nukes in Israel, small country, you start end up contaminating land that you don't have a lot of and make it unlivable for hundreds of years. That's not smart either.
Yeah, we've heard that Biden said he's not going to send weapons to Israel anymore. But yeah, right now, $1 billion
He's lying. He's lying. They put a halt on the 2,000-pound bombs, claiming that was to punish Israel. I think that was a lie. I think they put the halt on because they just didn't have any more in stock. Can't send what you don't have. They had to wait for some more to get produced so they could send more. But across the board, they are actively continuing to supply Israel. And Israel's continuing to murder Palestinian women and children, primarily. Because their goal is to exterminate the Palestinians. I heard a debate hosted by Piers Morgan. You know, there's another beauty. And this guy was sort of a protege of Itamar Ben-Gvir. And he made it very clear that, hey, from the river to the sea, this land is our, it's been ours. He said it, it's been ours for 3,000 years. And you look at this guy and go, dude, your family came out of Eastern Europe, okay? You weren't living there 3,000 years ago. So enough with that nonsense. And go back and read your history. Israel hasn't been in control really of anything since about 700 BC, okay? So enough with your fantasies. But they believe it. And therefore, it's theirs by right. It's theirs. God gave it to them. They're going to keep it. And anybody that's not there to support them, they got to go. We'll be eliminated. We'll kill them, exile them, jail them, whatever. They got to go. That's the Israeli attitude. And what the Palestinians are doing, they're fighting back. It is somewhat, you know, this is, it's a little similar to the arrival of Eastern Europe, you know, the Europeans, the first the Brits and the Spaniards here in what we now know as the United States, and started moving, getting rid of all the various Indian tribes and the confrontation with these Native Americans to take away their land, force them off the land, just ask the Cherokee and the Sioux and the Shawnee and, you know, the list of American Native American tribes is, you know, well over 300-400, I believe, if not higher. They lost their land. Now, if we allow Israel to get away with this claim, you know, this land is our land, God gave this land to me. Well, hey, the American Indians come in and make the same claim. Okay, hey, are you Europeans? Pack your shit up and get out. Hey, you know, now we're not going to do that, but we are allowing, sort of the same phenomena to unfold in Gaza and in the West Bank. And it's particularly in the West Bank that it's so pernicious. Those settlers that are in there are not normal thinking, feeling human beings. They are abnormal. They are extreme nationalists, extreme in their religious views, where they do not tolerate other religious views. And they, within their interpretation, they're the only ones entitled to live there and be there. So, you know, sometimes when you're up against that, you will have to fight it. That's what Hamas is fighting. And the stats, you know, why is Hamas called a terrorist organization? Why? You know, oh, it's carried out all these terrorist attacks. And people said, oh, really? How many? How many terrorist attacks? Could you give me a list? Just ask people to start listing, because you'd be surprised what you find. When I stumbled across the Israeli Foreign Ministry website, and I'm not sure how long it'll stay up. One of these days, they may hear me talking and say, man, we got to take that down. It's making us look bad. Because the data shows very clearly that the vast majority of these so-called terrorist attacks are attacks on settlers in response to settler attacks on Palestinians. That's what it is. Tit for tat. The last suicide bombing carried out by Hamas was in 2012, I think May or August. Well, that was 12 years ago. Why'd they stop? Well, I think they realized that killing civilians who are in restaurants, blowing them up, is bad PR. They learned that. The Israelis haven't learned that. So the Israelis are doing the same thing, only on a much larger scale. And when you look at the Israeli Foreign Ministry's of these incidents, they've got them in different, you know, they put them each into a spreadsheet. It came out to like 670 incidents, but then they had the same incident listed 13 times because 13 people were killed. So they listed them individually. So let's just say the number's around 620, 610, over a 24-year period, or 23 years, 4 months. Of that, Hamas was only listed 105 times. And so really only about 15% of the attacks over that 24-year period were attributed to Hamas. Sorry, that doesn't make you a grand international terrorist organization in my book. And the Ukrainian insists, oh, Hamas can't be involved with the politics. Well, Hamas absolutely should be involved. Now, yeah, their declaration that Israel should not exist. Yeah, that's their view. And we can't pretend that they're not entitled to that view. Because some days, the way Israel's behaving, I'd find myself saying the same thing. Like, this country shouldn't be allowed to exist. It's a threat to the world. Just in terms of its brutality. And people say, oh, you know, you're an anti-Semite. No, I'm not. But let's look at the numbers of those, you know, total number of Israelis that were killed prior to October 7th by these so-called heinous Palestinian terrorist attacks, 1,455. Well, during that same period, the Israelis killed close to 8,000 Palestinians. It's almost a 4-to-1, 5-to-1 rate. So who's the terrorist? I mean, if you're chalking up terrorism in terms of body counts, the Israelis come out as numero uno on the body count, and still are. Because once people recognize that the number of Palestinians that are being murdered by the Israelis this go round is without historical precedent. Even during the Nakba, when people were fleeing, the Israelis were not killing them by the tens of thousands like they are now. And that's just the dead. We're not talking about wounded. And that's because they're using bombs indiscriminately and they're attacking civilian targets. So what we're witnessing is there's a big PR war carried out against Hamas. I used to buy into it. I'm ashamed to admit, because I hadn't really stopped to take a look at the facts. Once you stop and take a look at the facts, no matter how crazy some of the rhetoric is, look at the actions. They backed off of suicide bombing. They backed off of mass bombings of civilian areas. Israel hasn't.
Larry, there is a report in Al Jazeera. It says that the Israeli army will not be able to defeat Hamas, even in a protracted war.
Well, if Israel goes ahead with its threat, and I think it will, simply because they've got so many, they've got people just as stupid as in the Biden administration and the Israeli government, making one terrible decision after another. They're not going to be able to, quote, defeat Hamas, because look, they already defeated Hamas up in northern Gaza. Hamas has already come back in strength and it's carrying out ambushes against Israeli troops, patrols, and tanks. In fact, there was a video I saw the other day where you could see two Merkava tanks sitting off, and this basic trapdoor opens up, and out come these Hamas guys from the tunnel, and they're carrying a significant mine. It looks like about a 30 to 40 pound kettle drum, kettle bomb, you know, like kettlebell that you work out with, and ran it over, placed it next to the tank, set the detonator, the charge, and you could see an Israeli soldier standing about 20 yards away. Didn't see the guys. And then as they're heading back, another guy pops out and fires an RPG. Now, the point of that story is that those kinds of hit-and-run guerrilla attacks, they're not going to defeat you on the battlefield, but they can bleed you dry. And Israel's small enough that it can be bled dry, because the combination of having its port facility shut down, particularly in Eilat in the south, with the Red Sea now a no-go zone for any Israeli ship, with Israel having to rely upon whatever it gets coming in through the Mediterranean, and the potential that that could be shut down, with all of these reservists who were called up into action had to leave their jobs, and when they leave their jobs, there was nobody to replace them because the Israelis aren't allowing Palestinians to come across and work either. So you've got a shrinking workforce. So the economy is contracting significantly and staying afloat just by virtue of money flowing in from the United States and Europe. If that gets disrupted at all, you know, Israel's ability to sustain operations is going to end. They don't have a quick military solution to Hamas. And even let's assume that they could somehow kill and capture every last member of Hamas. What are they going to do about Hezbollah? Hezbollah stepping up its missile attacks on Israeli units and positions, making the north uninhabitable. And with Israel vowing, oh, we're going to go take care of them. They couldn't take care of them in 2006. I don't know what they think has changed. I guarantee you what has changed is that Hezbollah is bigger, stronger, better armed, better trained, better equipped than it was 18 years ago. And Israel has not made any dramatic improvements. If anything, it's gone backwards a little bit. And then plus now it's suffering some significant losses, casualty-wise, killed and wounded. Israel, it's losing, I think more people than it anticipated, and then that's going to continue. So this will, I think it's going to end ultimately when Israel realizes it can't continue to fight, or if it does, it risks losing everything, and they don't want to risk losing everything.